To Ukraine, where the government has been evacuating people from the eastern town of Debaltseve, which is almost completely surrounded by Russian-backed rebels whose leader, Alexander Zakharchenko, announced a new initiative to recruit 100,000 new fighters. Meanwhile, U.S. and NATO officials are reportedly considering changing aid to the Ukrainian troops fighting the rebels from non-lethal items like night goggles to lethal weapons. The BBC's David Stern is in the capital, Kiev. And David, there's violence across the country, but particularly east of where you are on the Russian border. What are you hearing?
You said there has been particularly fierce fighting, as there has been for the last few days, or if not more than a week, in Debaltseve. This is a strategic town. It's a railroad hub, which connects the Lugansk region to the Donetsk region. Now, remember, those are the two breakaway areas as well. So the rebels would very much like to take that town, which is controlled by the government forces. But it needs to be said that there's fighting elsewhere, and it's intensifying all across the front line in the east. However, Debaltseve, we're getting conflicting reports on exactly what the situation is there. The rebels say that they have surrounded the government troops. They're tightening the noose, so to speak. The government disputes that. But what we can say is that, as I said, very fierce fighting, and that the civilian population is coming under very heavy fire, very high casualties among them, and there are a steady stream of refugees from that town as well as from other towns.
Well, we've been hearing heartbreaking reporting from NPR's Corey Flintoff, for instance. He reported on that attack over the weekend on a bus. A woman, an older woman, found dead sitting in her bus seat, clutching her purse. I mean, just the civilians really under attack. And so what do you make about the announcement from the rebel leaders that they're going to recruit 100,000 more fighters? Are there that many civilians there?
Well, yes. First of all, it should be said that he said that they're going to recruit up to 100,000, and that would be for the two breakaway regions. But the same question stands. Where are they going to get all these people? So that raises a couple of possibilities. This could be bluster, a way to put up a stronger, at least rhetorical front, perhaps even to intimidate the Ukrainians. Ukrainians are undergoing their own draft right now. Maybe this is a way to frighten away potential Ukrainian soldiers who don't want to go up against what the rebels want them to think would be a massive rebel army. But the other possibility is that these fighters could come from elsewhere. There's only a couple or a few million people in this area. The 100,000 is a lot. But obviously there are more fighters over the border in Russia. And the rebels have already threatened a more extensive offensive. They say they want to push the Ukrainian troops from the Donetsk and Lugansk regions entirely and maybe even move beyond there. This would require much greater manpower. And so perhaps Mr. Zakharchenko is providing sort of a verbal cover for the heightened incursion or invasion, if you want, by Russian forces, saying that these are, in fact, their own people who they have managed to recruit. But again, it's not really clear at the moment what the what Mr. Zakharchenko has meant by this. What we can say is that the fighting is intensifying.
Well, and what do you make of reports that both the Obama administration and NATO officials are reconsidering what had previously been a pledge not to provide lethal aid to the Ukrainian government and now thinking that maybe the time has come for that? How's that playing out there?
Well, we'll see ultimately what happens, obviously. The reports are just that the Obama administration is considering this. But this has been a topic of conversation, and it also has been a desire, if not a demand, by the Ukrainians. Now, the type of weapons that the Ukrainians are talking about and that other people are talking about are primarily defensive. This would be something that they could use against a Russian or a rebel attack or rebel offensive, things like javelin anti-tank missiles. But it wouldn't be anything that the Ukrainians necessarily could use to say, go on the offensive and maybe even go move against Russia.
So 4 months after a ceasefire agreement was reached and then collapsed in Ukraine, the tug of war over the country continues. Before we came on the air, I said to you that Ukraine is percolating again. And then I quickly realized that it was more than that. As you said, it's boiling over. What do you mean?
Well, it's what we've been describing up to now, the sharp escalation in fighting. But it's also the sense that this isn't going to end anytime soon. The peace talks collapsed over the weekend. The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, which was helping conduct these peace talks, came out with a statement very uncharacteristic for them, saying that the rebels were not even interested in discussing a ceasefire. The rebels, for their part, yes, have said that they are expecting a unilateral ceasefire from the Ukrainian government. The Ukrainian government says that's a non-starter. They're not going to lay down their weapons until the rebels say that. So obviously, this is the peace talks are going nowhere. And it does seem that the fighting is going to go on, well, is for the foreseeable future.
David Stern, correspondent for the BBC in Kiev, Ukraine. David, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.